What's happening?
No. Okay. So, just in terms of the Gemara itself, there's no exciting major harsh, it's simple. You probably thought of most of these. Sugya seems pretty straightforward, at least if you take the answers that are there. But just when you take a look at the Gemara itself, it's really not clear as to who exactly made up this takana. And this is really what we were dealing with as number of dachrin that we saw, is the Gemara uses this very strange lashon of amdu nevim shbeinam v'tiknu, that the nevim amongst them got up and were talking. So basically what it comes down to is, if you're returning to Moshe Rabbeinu, presumably you refer to Moshe Rabbeinu by his name. You don't say the nevim shbeinam and everybody else. You refer to Moshe himself. If it's referring to, and if Moshe was involved, how could you go ahead and exclude Moshe? If you're talking about the nevim of his generation, you don't skip out the greatest prophet that ever lived. So that's really what everybody's sort of dealing with, is who exactly you're referring to. And the different approaches we saw from the Teres Chaim, from the Rambam seems to say specifically Moshe, the Yerushalmi says Moshe, maybe it was later on. I kind of wanted to suggest that maybe it could have been sort of a combination, very similar to the Teres Chaim, but I guess slightly different, just in as much as the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be metaken it. And he couldn't, because you didn't have a Sefer Torah at that point in time. So then he told the Nevi'im of the next generation, the people who are going to take over, you know what, guys, you go ahead and do it. So therefore, it could be called for Moshe Rabbeinu, that we blame it on Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's not actually his. Kind of like the way we call the base David, that we call the base Hamikdash based after David HaMelech, even though he didn't really do it. He didn't really build it. He started building it, but you have such a concept. The problem with that is that it doesn't really seem like it's just the fact that it was his idea. It seems like he was more involved. So you might have to just tweak that a little bit and say that Moshe Rabbeinu actually was misakin it. And they didn't read it. And he said, when we finish the Sefer Torah, guess what, guys? Go ahead and read every Monday, every Thursday, every Shabbos, whatever the takana exactly was.
Why couldn't he mistaken what he had?
So that's the Teres Chaim's Teres. That's his answer, right, to say that whatever we have, that's what you're going to read, which is very possible. But then, right, so it's either something along those lines. But I thought, why do you have to come up with this major finish? Just say, you know what, guys, go ahead and read it when I die. When I die, so then you'll have a whole Sefer Torah, because you knew it was going to be finished, and then you go ahead and be mistaken it. It happens to be interesting to know, this I already discussed with you, there is a Gemara Megillah, they didn't quote it here, I meant to print it out to show it to people. The Gemara Megillah gives a different reason why they're mistaken three aliyahs. It doesn't say because of Kohanim, Levim, Mishayim, or Aliyah, it says because of Turin, Levim, Ksuvim. So you run into problems with that if you say Turin, Levim, Ksuvim, Mishmaresh, Arbino was the one who was mistaken it. Nevi'im and Ksuvim weren't around yet. Part of Ksuvim, maybe Mishle, Yir, different things written by Moshe. Different people were involved in things, but not the rest of Nevi'im. Moshe had them in some way, shape, or form, but not exactly. So what do you do with that? So it could be that that Gemara is really a reference to Ezra. Ezra went ahead and we call this takana. Most people, when you ask them, I think most people think that Kriyas Torah came from Ezra for some reason, because a major part of it, at least the structure that we have it in, comes from Ezra. So it could be that that Gemara is really referring to, for Turin Nevi'im Ksuvim, that was referring to what Ezra added in, as opposed to what we had before, is really referring to Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim. Right, but that was the new three of having three psukim for each and a minimum of 10 psukim. But or it could just be it's a gadata and you have different reasons for all sorts of things. I don't know. I wasn't really sure what to do with it 100%. Then you take a look at Tesis. The Tesis over here, a fascinating question. I mean, the question is pretty basic. What's so special about Monday and Thursday? Tesis comes up with this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu went up. He went down to the higher Sinai to get the Luchos on Monday and Thursday. Therefore, Monday and Thursday is an Eis Ratzon. I was just thinking, Eis Ratzon is normally a concept you see limited to, I asked you this question, Eis Ratzon is normally something you see limited to Tefillah, to tshuva, right? It says to make tshuva is an Eis Ratzon, so we do tshuva. Shabbos afternoon, mincha, right? Vanis losi l'chol Hashem, Eis Ratzon is an Eis Ratzon. So we care about Eis Ratzon for tefillah. You don't necessarily Eis Ratzon for Torah. It's just one of those things. What does one thing have to do with it? Tesis gives what? It's part of davening, but it's presumably limud haTorah in some way, shape, or form. It's at least a kriyas haTorah. It's a reading of the Torah, whatever exactly it is, but it's not tefillah. So if it's not tefillah, so why do we care about an Eis Ratzon? Suddenly, Tyson gives a great teretz, Eis Ratzon. What does that have to do with us? So this, Mordechai, you're going to have my head again, because I'm going to get a little drush on you. I kind of told you this. I looked it up. It's a fascinating medrash. Happens to be one of my more favorite medrashim in Parshas Vayetze. When he talks about Yaakov Avinu showing up by the Be'er when he goes to meet Rachel, so the medrash says like this. It darshens the psukim. It says, Vayarvi hine Be'er Basada. Yaakov Avinu comes, he sees a Be'er Basada. What's that referring to? Zebe Sakneses. That's referring to the shul. Okay, and the medrash continues. Vihine Sham Shleisha Edreitzan. There were three flocks of sheep over there. Elish Shleisha Kruin. These are the three people who get aliyas in shul. Why? Kimina Be'er. The mortar, they came, they draw the water from the Be'er. Shemisham Hayushem Masatera. From there, from the three aliyas, you would hear the Torah of Evan Gdela. What's that referring to? The big rock that was on the Be'er? Zeh Yetzahara. This is referring to the evil inclination. Nes Mushama Kol Adarim, and all of the flocks, all of the shepherds were all gathered. There's Zeh Atzibur. This is the congregation that comes to shul to daven and to listen to Kriyas Torah. V'galus Evan, and they remove the large stone. They have to come, everybody together, with their power together, moves the big stone from the Be'er. Shemisham HaYuhayim Shemnas HaTorah. From there, they would hear the Torah. V'Hishivus Evan, when they would put it back, what does it tell you? Shekivin Shem Yoytzim Lahem Yetzahara Chayzim Kremer. That since they left the shul and they returned the stone back to its place and they finished laning, the Yetzahara came back to them. Meaning what the Medrash is alluding to, the fact that when you lane, your Yetzahara somehow or another, in some way, shape, or form, goes away from you. That it's not only, and that's a concept really of if it's tshuva or if it's tefillah or if it's something like that. I mean, it's not just the Torah aspect to it, but in Kriyas HaTorah there's another aspect even greater. It's a crazy idea that you think that every time you come into shul on Monday and Thursday and they read Kriyas HaTorah and the Medrash seems to say, your Yetzer goes away from you. We don't really say that on a regular basis, but people don't take advantage of it. But at least according to that, that it's not just about the Kriyas HaTorah. There's more to it, and that could be what Tesis is alluding to. That what do I care about Ace Ratzon? I'll tell you, this has to do with Ace Ratzon. This aspect of Kriyas HaTorah, I would think, has to do with Ace Ratzon, but this is more Alpi Derech Drush. Just in terms of the Rambam himself, the Rambam we started discussing, the Rambam uses a very strange lashon. Right? The Rambam says that Moshe, who was Misakin, Moshe was the one who was Misakin Kriyas HaTorah, Berabim, on Shabbos, and Mincha Sheni Chamish B'Shachas, Kedei Shelo Yishu Shleish Yamim, in order that people shouldn't be 3 days below Shmias Torah, without listening to Torah. So really, it's mentioned in the Chassam Sefer later on, some sort of answer, but what does that mean, Shmias HaTorah? Like listening to Torah, you would think it's either learning Torah or more than that. We think it would be Liman HaTorah. What's Shmias HaTorah? So there are different approaches. Jay wants to suggest, Mesh wants to suggest, the Chassam Sefer was along those lines. A number of people, I think, had this idea. But there are different ways of saying it. There's either a Teretz that you could say that it's coming to allude to the fact, the concept that Teresh B'Chassav is different than Teresh B'Alpeh. Many Acharonim say, and I think even really comes from the Yisraelim, that you could be Mekayim a Mitzvah of Talmud Torah through Teresh B'Chassav, even if you don't know what you're saying. As opposed to Targum or any other language, if it's talking about actual Teresh B'Chassav, Chamisha Chamshi Teresh, and you read it and you don't know what you're saying, you still could be Yotzei at least a basic mitzvah of Teresh B'Chassav, of Limud HaTorah. So it could be that's referring to what he's saying. He's saying you have Shmia, that I have that basic level or something like that, or that he's just saying that this is enough, that just listening, and even though I don't necessarily know what's going on, but that's going to be enough. That was the Gzera. The Gzera was that, what are we talking about over here? The Gzera was that we should make sure Klal Yisrael don't have Torah without, not for 3 days. It seems like a foreign concept to us, that someone's going to go without any sort of learning without 3 days, aside from the fact that the Gemara says, or the Gemara suggests in the Darim that I think they just had in the Daf Yomi that you have that you could be Mekayim your mitzvah of Talmud Torah with Kriyas Shema. So what, they didn't say Kriyas Shema for those 3 days, and we're not going to say Kriyas Shema for those. What are we worried about? We're worried about not having Torah at all. So you were saying this is talking about a person that doesn't have Torah whatsoever. Meaning presumably they're not going to say Kriyas Shema. They're not going to have anything, or at least they don't have Kavanah when they say Kriyas Shema. Right, and we're talking about a lot of people. We're talking about real people here. That's what the concern was for. So if that's the level we're holding on, then we're going to say, yeah, listening just Shmia of Torah, that's going to be good enough. At least give them something. Give them a little taste of something. So you have them going along and doing that. And that, at least, I think would be possibly an explanation to the idea of the Rambam. The Sugya really, I don't know if you all got to it, it happens to be very interesting later on when it gets to their Raises, their Abanans, and it seems like they want to be Madaik from Rashi. I'm not so convinced of this in Rashi, but at least be Madaik in the Rashi, and that's the way all the Acharonim seem to say it. The Bach very clearly says it, and many Acharonim after it seem to say that Rashi is of the opinion that Kriyas HaTorah could be the Raisa. All the other Yisharinim and Acharonim seem to say basically that it's only going to be the Darbanan, but that runs into problems according to the Acharonim, according to the suggestion I wanted to give, depending on how you say it, is who is Misakin Kriyas HaTorah. If you say it only came about from the Nevi'im later on, and even the next generation, they can't create a mitzvah deraisa. You can't call it deraisa if it only came around the next generation. David asked me about how it could be a mitzvah deraisa if it's not part of the Taiga mitzvah. So that happens to be, if you ever go through the Rambam and say for our mitzvahs at the beginning, he goes through in the Shurashim how you define a mitzvah. Just because it's not one of the 613 doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a mitzvah of Tariyat. Of course, my mind went blank right now. What are the examples of mitzvahs? Oh, that was the example I gave you, Bikur Cholim. I gave it to you a couple of weeks ago. There are those who suggest it's machlekes whether or not Bikur Cholim is a mitzvah deraisa. And even if it's a mitzvah deraisa, so why isn't it in the Tariyat? Because it's not necessarily mefurish in the Torah, at least according to the Klum, the Rambam sets up. If something's not mefurish in the Torah, there's no clear cut pasuk or drusha that teaches it to you, it won't be counted as one of the 613, but it is a mitzvah. Could be under the guise of Gemilas HaSavim, but whatever it is. So that could be over here also. It would be a mitzvah, but presumably it would have to be around from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. More than that, once you get later on in history, it's going to be very problematic. So that's why you're really going to have to come back to this Rambam and say that in some way, shape, or form, Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin this. If not, you can't start with Rashi to say it's Deraisa. I don't think it's possible. Even if you say it was Yeshua, you can't make up a mitzvah Deraisa to a later generation. So therefore, you'd have to really stick with the Rambam and explain that he was made the Takana in some way, shape, or form, and then it may be continued on from there, but at least he was the one who started, and that would be how you would get to explain Rashi that it would be a mitzvah Deraisa. According to everybody else, it's only Darabanan, you have much more wiggle room. Rashi seems to say, at least the Achronim seem to understand in Rashi, that it's going to be a mitzvah deraisa. What was that?
From Baviyosan?
From Baviyosan, yeah. From that drasha, Rashi Megillah seems to understand.
Do you know what where they learn it from Rashi?
It seems like from the drasha of Baviyosan, it's going to have to be in Lashon HaKodesh that we say that. And Rashi seems to say that's referring to all of Kriya Satera. How could you have a drasha to tell you there's a din in Kriya Satera that has to be in Lashon HaKodesh if there's no such concept of Kriya Satera yet? You know, even though you have to know, because there are drushas that come about, we darshan all sorts of psukim, but they're always asmachtas. This seems like a real, legitimate, full-fledged drusha that teaches you an actual halacha, supposed to just being a remez or an asmachta or something like that. Right, there are people afterward, because they say it's only derabanan, but if you say it's derais, you have to say it's a real drusha. That's the way that they presumably would be understanding it. There's a lot more in this booklet that many of you didn't get to. You're more than welcome to take the booklets home with you, keep them. I'm available. You want to ask me things. If people are interested in getting the booklets early, they